Slight detour today. Just for today, we'll get back on the path next week. Wrong button. And this is something that the elders and I have discussed on several occasions in different ways, kind of prompted by different things. But it really began bouncing around my mind a lot more, especially since Brad Harrob was here, and he made reference to something that really caught me. And I kind of tied it to the thoughts that the elders and I have had. And so we want to take that break today and address this issue. And so here's how we start. How many here own a computer? Desktop, laptop, handheld, keep them up. All right, now then, what about smartphone? All right, what about a cell phone in general that can communicate in some way? Through call, through text. Or a tablet. A lot of those same hands are staying up. Most of us have all of them in one way or another. An e-reader. I'm sure you all have one of those. Might not look like the first one. You may have had one of those 100 years ago. But most of them look like the second one. Now then, thinking about those things, thinking about the fact that the majority of us own one or two computers or maybe three, and we have four smartphones on our plan, and that we have access to the tablet and the readers, and you can go ahead and include in that your iPod or your radio or a DVD player, your game system, just the technology in general that is available to us all the time. Here's the second question. How many minutes or hours are they on each day? Compiling information from several different sources this past week, this is what I learned. According to a study done in June of last year, we average 4.7 hours a day on our phones. That's up from 2.7 the year earlier. By the way, the average adult is awake 15 hours a day. Therefore, if you spend 4.7 hours of your waking time on your phone, you're spending a third of your day in front of that screen. We average 5 hours of television a day. Now, and I'll say this again at the end, certainly this does not apply across the board. Some of you are going to get in 8 hours of television and an hour on your phone. And some are going to get in 10 hours on their phones and never turn the television on because the television's on their phone. We manage to get in an average of 2 hours a day in front of our computers. Certainly, they don't apply to every individual. So when you compile them, you'll be glad to know we only average 8 hours a day in front of a screen instead of the 12 or 14 that would add up to. 8 hours a day. Half of our waking hours are spent in front of a phone, tablet, computer, e-reader, iPod, something with an electronic screen across the United States. That time includes what? Well, it includes checking our social media an average of 17 times a day per person in the United States. Okay, that doesn't account for the fact that there are some who don't have access to it, some who do not have social media at all, even though they have access to it. And so those numbers actually go up a lot more for those who do have it because they're having to make up for the rest of us. But an average across the United States of 17 times a day that we've got to check Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever. check our phones for some other reason 47 times a day. Check the news, check the weather, check the email, whatever. We spend 37 minutes a day just reading and answering emails. And we think, kids, we look around and we think, look at all of these teenagers with their phones. They're bumping into things. They can't sit side by side and talk. We think they cannot function without them. They have to text the person next to them rather than turning and talking. Here's a wake-up call, big people. The greatest offenders in social media, age 25 to 54. It's not our kids. It's my age bracket. The greatest offenders in email, 35 to 44. That does not mean that there's not an epidemic among our teens. There is. But what it does mean is the epidemic, that word is not coming out today. The epidemic, and the reason it's not coming out is because when I looked at the screen, I saw the word elephant for some reason. And I know that's not it, so I'm trying to correct it. It just means the epidemic is a lot wider than we think it is. Kim and I went out on Valentine's night after services that night. And we're sitting in Bravo having our Valentine's dinner, and I glance around. And here is a nice restaurant full of people in their Valentine's Day clothes on their dates, and they're glued to their phones. Seriously? You're going to shell out $25 a plate to go play on your phone? Stay at home and eat a bologna sandwich, dude. It's across the board. It's every age group. And the thing is, and I kind of said this earlier, some are making up for others. Because some of us do not participate in social media or watch TV, or others do not work on a computer. I'm an example. I'm not a member of any social media site. And so somebody's carrying the weight for me to get up to 17 times a day to account for me. I do not average but a few minutes of TV a day. My email checking consists of scrolling through my phone. It takes about 30 seconds for me to delete all the garbage, and in about 3 minutes to read one email that I get from Neil Pollard. Mine, on the other hand, is after they've carried my weight, I carry it on playing games. And a whole lot more than 2 hours on a computer, because I do all my research there. I do all my writing there. I do all my reading there. And so I balance it out one way and they balance it out another way. But there's some type of addiction and epidemic for just about all of us. Now then, there's no doubt. Let me stop right here for just a second. There's no doubt some of the time is legitimate. Some of it's work, some of it's research, some of it has value, some of it is good. It's connecting and it's reconnecting. Some of it's innocent. There's nothing wrong with a little downtime. For the most part, however, we piddle. We could get it done a whole lot faster if we didn't stop to watch the next funny video or play the next game or send a silly picture on Snapchat or Instagram, rubberneck into other people's business. That's all Facebook's for, by the way. It's no longer a social media site. It's so I can see what everybody else is doing and I can insert my comment. I can gossip and I can complain. Here's the point. We have a tendency to take something neutral, even to take something that's good, and make it a negative. Make it an obsession. Make it even an evil. And that's exactly what Paul addresses two times in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. He goes on to say in chapter 10, repeating the first part of it, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. And so it's possible that we have these things out there that are neutral or even good and can be used for a positive, and yet we become mastered by them. Or we do not use them in a way that they edify, or we do not use them in a way that we can do something good with them. So here's the thing. We're starting a new program today. And it's something that Brad kind of hinted at and just barely touched on the weekend he was here. And it's the idea of taking five. It's the idea of taking 5 minutes and turn off the technology. Every day, at some point in the day, where you take a break from the electronics, whether it means laying down the phone or closing the laptop. And we're going to add to that idea that Brad had of taking 5 minutes and we're going to use it for the Lord. And I'll show you how this works in just a second. But we're going to use the technology that we have to God's advantage. And so we're going to, step one, take five for the Lord. Every day. I'm going to encourage you to do that. And I'll show you at the end, we're going to use technology to encourage you to do that. We're going to lay down the phone, turn over the tablet, close the laptop, turn off the TV, the iPod, the radio, the whatever. If it takes the battery to run it, if it takes the electricity to light up the screen, set it aside for 5 minutes for God. And use your 5 minutes to pray. Luke 18 and verse 1, he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray, not to lose heart. Be honest in your own mind and think about, what does your prayer life consist of? If you're lucky, 30 seconds before you fall asleep after you hit the pillow. If you slow down long enough before the meal. But what about that moment in the day when there's nothing else going on because you've turned everything off and you can actually focus? You're not in danger of falling asleep. And you've turned off the phone so that no one can call. Use that 5 minutes to read. 5 minutes a day will get your chapter in a day to make you a daily Bible reader. And that number can go up to 150, 175, and 200. Here's the thing. If we have to study to show ourselves approved, we have to study to show ourselves approved. It's not going to happen without turning everything off and read. And yes, I know that you can flip on your phone and find the Bible or your tablet or your computer. But here's the thing. When we do that, as valuable as it can be, there's always the temptation to go back to Angry Birds or Friends with whatever it is you play. And so for 5 minutes, actually turn the pages of a Bible. Figure out where Genesis is in reference to Malachi. And read. By the way, you might find, and some of us nerdly people know this, it feels really good to open a book and to smell the pages and to see the ink. It's really, we've been doing it for thousands of years. Try it sometime. They actually have things out there called libraries that have books that you check out that you can hold in your hand. If we're going to be more noble-minded, we have to search the Scripture daily, Acts 17 and verse 11. Take 5 minutes and read. Take 5 minutes and meditate. David wrote, "Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee." David said, not only did I read it, but then I stuck it somewhere. I filed it away that I could go back to it. And I treasured it and I thought about it. And it kept me from sinning. 6 times in the book of Psalm, or in Psalms chapter 19, David makes reference to meditating on the Word of God. And that's the idea of stopping everything else and doing nothing but focusing on what God has said. And I might add, take that 5 minutes and sit on the porch, watch the birds, go for a walk. Do something for 5 minutes a day that lets you draw closer to God, lets you reconnect, lets you charge your batteries. And you'll find a lot of things happen. You'll find that life gets better. Remember, we think we're so busy that we cannot do this or we cannot do that. I can't spare 5 minutes. Jesus had 3 years to get everything done he needed to get due. Wow. Jesus had 3 years to do everything he needed to get done. And yet he never hesitated to stop. He never hesitated to go out into the wilderness and pray. He never hesitated to sit down and meditate. He never hesitated to take the break before he went back to work. I want you to think about this. If you spend 5 minutes a day focusing on your relationship with God, by the end of the week, you've spent 35 extra minutes in prayer, study, meditation, communion, whatever. And at the moment, it did not cost you that much. And I believe several things will happen. I think you'll find enrichment. You'll find joy. You'll find increased appreciation. You'll find connection. You'll find stamina. Your battery will be recharged and you'll do better the rest of the time. I also think this will happen. That 5 minutes of Bible reading will turn into 10 minutes or 15 or 30. Because you'll actually get engrossed in it. So take 5 minutes every day and give it back to God. Step two, I want you to take 5 minutes every day for your family. Same list. Lay down the phone or tablet. Close the laptop. Turn off the iPod, the radio, the TV. Don't say we're watching TV together. Turn it off. And use it to have a conversation. It's a lost art. We have trouble talking to each other. And yet it's so vital to look into each other's eyes and to see the other person. Use it to play a game. Spend 5 minutes playing a game with your children. I don't mean the electronic game. I mean, get the cards out, get the dominoes out, get the board out. Spend 5 minutes reading a book together. Get the Bible story book out. Read the devotional book together. Take a walk. When was the last time you took 5 minutes uninterrupted, took your child by the hand, and walked through the backyard to look at the wildflowers or to point out the birds? Can you even remember? Sit on the couch and hold hands with your spouse. For 5 minutes, do nothing but focus on that relationship. Pray together. Do a devotion. Whatever. But 5 minutes that focus on each other. I seem to remember at least a couple of times that there are passages in there that relate to our family interaction. Passages like Deuteronomy 6, where God says, "These words which I'm commanding you shall be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." Passages like Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." We're not doing those things if we're spending 8, 10, 12 hours with a screen in front of our faces. Not to mention, going back to the Bible, examples of Hannah rearing Samuel in such a way that by the time he's weaned, and we use that word about the age of 13 in the Old Testament, he's ready to serve Eli. Not to mention Solomon teaching his sons, or Mary and Joseph raising a son that's growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Example, 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 and example of God saying, invest in your children. And here's the thing, I want to go back to what we said earlier. If the highest uses of technology is among those ages 25 to 54, there are a lot of parents and even grandparents who are neglecting their duties. Hear that again, because I only heard one muffled amen. If the highest usage in social media and email and television and all of this is my age group, we're not doing our jobs. Our children are being neglected. Yes, they have the best clothes. Yes, they have the best phones. Yes, they have the best cars. And they're the most neglected children on the face of the earth, because they have no idea who we are. They have no idea what it means to be a part of the family. I doubt seriously anyone will face the last few hours of life moaning that he did not spend enough time playing Angry Birds or rubbernecking and complaining on Facebook or watching funny videos on YouTube. But I have known, and I do know for a fact, that people face the end of life regretting not spending enough time with family. That they face the end of life not having another chance to right a wrong or to reconnect and mend a broken relationship. I also know with all biblical certainty, my highest level on Candy Crush will not figure into God's decision concerning my eternity. At least not in a positive way. It may figure into it in a negative way, because I will be held accountable for how I spent my time, number one. And number two, how I carried out my responsibilities as a spouse and as a parent. How I turned my children back over to God. I also believe, and this, handle it the way you want to, I'm just going to give you some advice. Parents, set some limits. Make some rules. Such as, not at the table. If the phone comes to the table at my house, it goes face down. It's not going to hurt us for 15 minutes to sit at the table together. Set limits as to the amount of time that it's the Xbox or the PlayStation or the phone or the whatever. I look at my kids and I say, that's enough, turn it off. Go outside. Do something, but get up and move. Take time out in the car. I don't care if you're on a 15-hour trip and your solution to that is play this till the battery runs out and then we'll plug the television in. Turn it off. Tell your kids to look out the window. Talk about what you see. Sing a song. Do something. Step three, I want you to take 5 minutes for the gospel. When you turn it back on, and this is the exact opposite of what we were just saying, when you go back and you pick up the phone, when you go back and you pick up the tablet, your 5 minutes of meditation are over, your 5 minutes of family are over, you open the laptop, whatever it is the case, do something positive with it. We've been commanded to take the gospel to the world. We've been commanded in doing that to preach to every creature. Through modern technology, we have access to more of Earth's population than ever before. And what are we doing with it? We have the ability to reach hundreds, thousands, millions in a nanosecond. And all we can send each other is a joke or a goofy picture. And you know me, I'm all about having a good time. I have no problem with that. But it cannot be the limit. It cannot be as high as I can go. According to a recent study, what we might consider the big eight social networks in the United States, Facebook, Messenger, and Tumblr, and Instagram, and Twitter, and Skype, Snapchat, and Pinterest, watch these numbers come up, have a combined registered membership of 4.225 billion users at our fingertips. What we might consider lesser known, maybe some of the kids know more about them, but networks that are actually more worldwide, including these, watch these numbers, have a combined membership of almost 5.5 billion. 4.5. Man alive, what a day. And if maybe hadn't went, I never would have seen it. I know these overlap, but what I want you to understand is that is nearly 9 billion potential contacts. Contacts that we can invite to worship, that we can study with, that we can enroll in a correspondence course, that we can pray for, we can send a devotional to, an article to, a link to. When was the last time you used your social media account to do one of those things? Or to do anything else that's truly connected, I'm not talking about just positive, but truly connected to spreading the gospel, to accomplishing the biggest job we've been given. Take the gospel to the world. When was the last time you turned on your computer and you sent a Bible study to somebody? And I'm not talking about us just getting into that e-argument where all we do is upset each other and nothing is accomplished. And I know not everybody that you send that invite to is going to be interested. And I know some of them will delete you from their friend list. Fine. But I can guarantee you, out of 9 billion contacts, someone's looking for the truth. Use it. When I was writing this, this was almost enough to convince me to open one. But I rejected the urge. So you got to do it for me. Now then, social media cannot replace face-to-face evangelism. If you can walk next door and talk to your neighbor, do it. But it can allow you to reach billions you cannot reach any other way. Here's the conclusion. Turn it off for 5 minutes. Spend 5 minutes a day with the Lord. See where it leads. See if anything good, if nothing good comes out of it, you can tell me and I'll leave you out of the next part of this. Spend 5 extra minutes a day with your family. See if it makes a difference. See if it turns into 10 or 15 or 20. Guess what? You turn it off for 5 minutes, the world will keep turning. I can promise you, when you turn it back on, the world will be there. All the updates will be there. The next level in whatever game is still going to be there to be conquered. You can make it up later. It'll be okay. The first time you do it, you may twitch for 4.5 minutes, but you'll survive. Turn it off. Here's another thing I promise you. If it's earth-shattering, they'll leave a voicemail, they'll call back, they'll send you a text, they'll bump you, they'll get in contact with you in some way. It'll be okay. We think if we don't have the news 5 minutes ago, it's too late. Kim and I ran off the other day, left both our phones at home and went to town with the boys at the house, worried to death that we couldn't get in contact with them. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 30 years old. How in the world did I survive? How did I go anywhere? I had kids before I had one. So how did I survive not knowing what they were doing every second? How did I survive actually stopping and using a phone to call home? The world will keep going. It's okay. Turn it back on, and the minute you turn it back on, do something positive to spread the word. Use some of the amazing technology with which God has blessed us to do something good and positive for 5 minutes out of your day. Change somebody's life. Might even change the world. Here's the last thing before I extend the invitation. I'm going to use some of this technology to remind you, to bump you, to challenge you, to ask you to take inventory. And that's why Brad made the reminding announcement about the Remind 101. If you have access to a phone where you can receive a text, and it doesn't even have to be a smartphone, you don't even have to have the app, you can just receive the text messages. Do it. Because I'm going to send out texts and emails and remind messages that remind you, hey, stop and take your five. Take 5 minutes for the Lord. Take 5 minutes for your family. And then I'm also going to ask you, what'd you do with your five? And I'm going to, at times, I'm going to stick it in my article that I hand Deborah, that she'll put it in a bulletin that week. What'd you do with your five this week? Did you take your five? Why not turn something that we've abused into something positive? The most advanced torture and death technology of the day was used to crucify the Son of God. So God took something that Satan misused and turned it to your benefit. Why can we not do the same thing? Take something that the world would misuse and Satan would misuse, make it a positive. Do not this morning let his hard work, let his sacrifice, let what he turned a negative into a positive go to waste in your life. Do not walk out of here without Christ Jesus as your Savior. If you need to confess your sins, if you need to repent, if you need to confess your Savior, if you've never been baptized and you need to be baptized to be forgiven, do it. Turn that technology back on Satan. For the rest of us that are Christians, take five. Do something good with it. As we stand and sing.